Hari Tribo say good morning. We have a beautiful, beautiful. Actually, I meant to put out on the WhatsApp group last night that beautiful Agarta today. And it's true. I'm not selling you. I'm not just telling you that. It really is. So let's say. Well, let's begin. Today's daf is Kuf Chav Aleph 121, and we are picking up Kuf Chav. We have a lot to do today. So remember, again, we left off in the middle. I know you probably weren't able to sleep last night, Mamish, because we left off in the middle of the Gzir Shava of Zezeh, right between Shchut Eichutz and Nedarim. We're trying to figure out what to do with that Gzir Shava, and specifically, we're trying to figure out what does Beis Shammai do with that Gzir Shava. Remember again, because according to Beis Shammai, who holds Ein She'ela Behekdish, so Hai Zev V'Zeh My Avias, so we're picking up 2, 4, 6, 8, 9 lines off from the bottom. I'm Kuf Chof Amad Beis. Hai Zev V'Zeh My Avias. So according to Beis Shammai, ultimately, who does not subscribe to this concept of Yesh She'ela Behekdish, as we spoke about yesterday, what is, bless you, what does he do with the Gzir Shav of Zeh Zeh? So the Gemara says, so zeh my avdilei. The Gemara says zeh hadavar deshchut echutz mi baylei. Ala shochi tu chayiv enu chayiv ala molek. We actually read this yesterday. We both say it's a Beis Shammai understands this that the Gzeir Shava teaches us that for shchut echutz you're chayiv for shchita outside of the Beis Hamikdash, but you are not chayiv for malika outside of the Beis Hamikdash. And zeh hadavar derashi matos. And again, there's the phrase zeh hadavar by the Rashi matos. So we'll say the Rashbam explains that these are the different frameworks for annulment of vows. For example, a chacham has the ability to do hatara, a husband has the ability to do hafara. What's the distinction between hatara and hafara? So we'll say hafara, which is the power of the husband, needs no logical mechanism. Remember again, the Torah vests the husband with an incredible authority, which is that if he hears that his wife made a neder, he has the ability to annul that neder b'yom shamo, on the day that he hears it. Whether the wife wants it annulled, doesn't want it annulled, she regrets it, she doesn't regret it, that is the power of the husband. That's called hafara. A chacham does not have that power. A chacham has the power of hatara. I will say again, hatara also takes place through a couple of different ways, but namely, we look for a Pesach. Chacham will say to the woman, do you regret me? Had you known X, Y, and Z, would you have made the neder? Woman says, no. That creates an opening for annulment, and that's how hatara is conducted. So Beis Shammai says, this teaches us that the mechanism available to the husband is not available to the chacham. The mechanism available to the chacham is not available to the husband. Ul Beis Shammai deles lo gzir shava. And according to Beis Shammai, who does not hold of the Gzir Shava of Zezeh, Hafaras Nedarim Mishlosha Yotos Minolahu, where does Beis Shammai learn out that Hafaras Nedarim could even be done with three ordinary people? To which the Gemara says, Nafkulu Midisanya. So they learn it out from the following Braisa. Vaidabre Moshe Es Moadei Hashem Al Bnei Yisrael. So we'll say this Braisa is going to open the doors to some incredibly dramatic discussions. So the Pasuk says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to Moshe, right? I'm sorry. Moshe Rabbeinu communicated the Mo'adei Hashem, the holidays of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Bnei Yisrael. So we'll say, look at the Gemara Darshan's this pasuk. Rabbi Yosef Levi Omer, Rabbi Yosef Levi says, top of Kof Rav Aleph, Mo'adei Hashem Ne'emru, Shabbos Bereishis Lo Ne'emra. It was only again the Mo'adim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Yomim Tovim of Hashem, that were communicated, but Shabbos was not communicated. Again, Rabbi Yosef, we're going to discuss exactly what that means. Ben Azai Omer, Mo'adei Hashem Ne'emru, Hafaras Nedarim Lo Ne'emra. Ben Azai says it was only the Yomim Tovim that were communicated, but annulment of vows was not communicated. Rabbi Yossi Bar Nassan, so listen to this. Okay, that's the end of that braisa. So now look at the Gemara tells. Rabbi Yossi Bar Nassan, Gomer la laha masnisa, velo yada la lefrusha. So both Rabbi Yossi Bar Nassan learned this braisa, and there's good news. Like us, he had absolutely no idea what he was talking about. Because we'll say again, remember, the braisa doesn't even read normally. So what happens? Azul basrei dirav sheshes lenarda, velo ashkechai. So he went to find Rav Sheshes in Narda, but he was unable to find Rav Sheshes there. Azul Basrei leMechuza, Ashkechei, he traveled after him to Mechuza, and he went ahead and he finally found Rav Sheshes and asked him to explain. Amar Lei, my Mo'adei Hashem Nemru, Shabbos Bereishis Lo Nemru. So Rav Sheshes, what's Shabbos said? By the way, you see an incredible Musar in this as well, which is that if you want clarity, and you want understanding, and you want MS in life, you have to be willing to run after it. You see, sometimes we say that we want life clarity, we want life, we want Torah, we want MS, and we're more than happy to have it as long as what? As long as what? As long as it shows up at my doorsteps and just cuddles, by my feet. You just come and bring me my slippers while you're at it. You know, if it comes to me, then I'm willing to take it. Let's say it's not the way that life works. A person wants Torah, a person wants MS, a person wants clarity. You have to be willing to travel all over the place. Recognizing, meaning, it's lav dafka a geographic statement, but much more like an emotional ruchni statement. You have to be willing to push yourself, and sometimes where you think you're going to find it, you don't find it. And instead of giving up and despairing, you just keep pushing and pushing and pushing until you ultimately find that which it is that you're looking for. So he finally tracks, Rabbi Yossi finally tracks down Rav Sheshes. He says, my Mo'adei Hashem ne'emru, Shabbos bereshis lo ne'emra. So Rabbi Yossi says to Rav Sheshes, Rebbe, what is the meaning of this braisa? What does it mean when you said, Vaydabra Moshe's Mo'adei Hashem al b'nei Yisrael, that ultimately again the Yomim Tovim were said, but Shabbos bereshis wasn't said? Amar Lei, so let's listen to this. So Rav Sheshes explains, Mo'adei Hashem tzrichin kiddush beizdim, Shabbos Bereshis Eino Tzvicha Kiddush Beisdin. So the Brisa is teaching us, Rabbosai, that Yamim Tovim require ultimately the sanctification of a Beisdin, whereas Shabbos does not require the sanctification of a Beisdin. Rabbosai, now what does this mean? Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Now, it's not literal, meaning Yamim Tovim do not require the sanctification of the Beisdin, but you know what does? Rashbam says, Ramadei Hashem Tzvichin Kiddush Shayim Mekachin Es HaChodesh Al-Pi HaRe'iyo Umitoch Kach Miskadesh moed bizmano. Shelafi ibra shana vibra hadoshim odem is akvin. Avalamodin atzmalo hayu mikachim. Kima hadoshim. Kedestambra shashana lagabi kiddush achodesh. Shabbezin or mekudosh. Vichalaam onin achra mekudosh mekudosh. So it says, therefore, again, what the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yossi or Sheshes explains, that in order to have Yomim Tovim, the prerequisite for Yomim Tovim is that Bezin is mekadesh the chodesh. Bezin has to sanctify the new month. And only once based and sanctifies the new month is, or do you have Yamim Tovim? Now, obviously, we know even de facto if Beis Din doesn't go ahead and sanctify the new month, but the idea is that Yamim Tovim are dependent on the calendar. And therefore, the Maisa, we need Beis Din to go ahead and establish the new month in order to have Yamim Tovim. On the flip side, Shabbos Bereshis Eino Tzvich LaKiddush Beis Din. But on the flip side, Shabbos does not require sanctification of the Beis Din. Take a look at the Rashbam. Shabbos Bereshis Eino Tzvich LaKiddush Ke'in Shemekachin Amodos Aydei Kiddush Rashi Chadoshim Ein Mekachin Echad B'Shabbos Liyos Shish Lo Shabbos. In other words, I don't need Beis Din to get up on Sunday and say, Hayom Yom Rishon B'Shabbos, thereby sanctifying the first day of the week and setting into motion then the process for the subsequent days, ultimately to result in Shabbos. Liyo Shvi Shlo Shabbos El Li Olam Yom Shvi Shabbosu Belo Kiddush Beis Din. Rather, I both say Shabbos is Shabbos even if Beis Din does not get involved. Benafkalei Midechsev Moadei Hashem Yisera the Matzi LeMichtav Eila Asher Tikru Osam Mikra'i Kodesh. Shabbos say ultimately again according to Rav Sheshes. So the Bryce is coming to teach me that halacha lemaisa Yom Tov requires kiddush achodesh, requires a kiddush from Beis Din, but Shabbos, which also is an interesting havamina, that perhaps you would have required Beis Din to stand up at the beginning of every single week, be makadesh that particular week, sanctify the week, ultimately in order to put a Shabbos in place. An interesting havamina. Kamash melon, that we do not need that. So the Gemara says, well, why would you have thought that? Sakadai tchamina, because I might have thought, ho eluk sivi gabi moados, tiboy kiddush Beis Din ki moados. We'll say it's a very simple havamina. The havamina is that Shabbos is written in the same context as Yom Tov. So I might have thought that the Torah is equating them to tell me that just as Yom Tov requires Kiddush, so Shabbos requires Kiddush. Kamash Malon, that it's only Yom Tov that requires Kiddush, the sanctification of the Beis Din, but Shabbos does not. To which the Gemara says, okay, thanks. So again, Rav Yossi says to Rav Sheshes, thank you very much. What about the next part? What about the second part of that braisa that said that the pasuk speaks at the Yamim Tovim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it doesn't come out of Faras Nedarim? What about that statement to which the Gemara says, teaches me, Mo'adi Hashem Tzrichin Mumchin, HaFaras Nedarim Ina Tzricha Mumchin. Rabosai teaches me that the sanctification of the new month requires mumchim. I was about to say that requires a Beis Din of experts. You can't have a Beis Din of hadyotos, right? A Beis Din of three simple people, bimekadesh the chodesh. It has to be, again, a Beis Din of mumchim. a mumchin. On the other hand, hafaras nedarim, annulment of vows, just requires any beis din, even head yotos, even simple people, and does not require mumchin. I v'hai rashi hamatos tziv. But one second, but the pasuk by hafaras nedarim says rashi hamatos, heads of the tribes, which of course would seem to indicate that what? That you do require mumchin, to which the Gemara says, Rav Chista, Rabbi Yochanan, biyachid mumcha. When it says Rashi Amatos, what it means is that Jabosi, you have a choice. Either you could use three regular people, or you could use Rashi Hamatos. But Rashi Hamatos doesn't refer to a group, rather it refers to individuals within a group. If you want to use of the heads of the tribes, i.e., one individual who's a mumcha, that is permitted as well for Ataras Nadarim. Tanan Hassam. So we'll say now the Gemara goes off a little bit on a tangent. Tanan Hassam. This is really beautiful. Amrav Shabbat on the up. Lo hayu yamim tovim liyisrael ki chamisha asar ba'av uchiyom ha-kippurim. So we'll say, the Gemara says over here, Rav Shimon Gamliel says, there were no greater days for Klal Yisrael than the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur. So the Gemara says, why? What happened now? Yom Kippur, we know. What happened on the 15th of Av? Shebahen b'nos Yerushalayim yotos b'chlei lavan shulin shalavayis es mishenah. Because it will say, the girls of Yerushalayim would go out in borrowed white clothing. Borrowed white clothing. Why did they borrow clothing? In other words, we'll say everybody borrowed a garment from someone else. In order not to embarrass someone who did not have the garment. Take a look at the Rashbam, we'll say. Rashbam dirim aschel shu'ulin. About six lines up before the Rashbam gets wide. Shafilu mishi yeshlo haisa sho'alas. Even someone who had a garment, even a woman who had a garment, would still borrow in order not to embarrass the one who did not. So we'll say this actually is a quote from Tainus. So the Gemara goes weiter. So I understand why Yom Kippur is a great day. Why? Because we'll say, first of all, it is a day of forgiveness. Next. Yom shenitnu bo luchos achronos. It will say it is the day in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the second set of luchos, which will say, you understand, those two reasons, they're one and the same. Meaning that it's a day, how do we know that Yom Kippur is a day of slicho mechila? Well, of course, the pasuk says, ki ba'am azei yechav ra'aleichem l'taras l'mikol chato oseichem l'fnei Hashem titaru. The pasuk says that, but it will say, but the original event that concretized the identity of this day are the second luchos, meaning the giving of the second luchos were the ultimate manifestation of divine forgiveness. So it was that event that solidified the identity of Yom Kippur as Day of Slicha Mechila. So number one, it's a general day of forgiveness. Number two, there's a celebration because it's the day ultimately that the second set of luchos were given. Ela chamisha sar ba'av mahi. So I understand Yom Kippur, but I will say what, and just interesting, by the way, you could see in the Rashbam, Yom Shenitnu bo luchos achron. It's not going to go into it now. The Rashbam just goes through the calendar, which is good because, again, it also ties into Shavuos. In other words, how do we know the second set of luchos were given on the 15th of Av? So the Gemara says the following. Ela chamisha asar ba'av mahi. But we'll say at the end of the day, what exactly is the great celebratory tone of the 15th of Av? So we'll see here the Gemara records a number of different opinions. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yom Shechotru Shvatim Lavo Zebaze. Now I will say, this is why this Braisa is in our Gemara. This is the tie-in. The Gemara suggests that it was on the 15th of Av that the Shvatim were finally permitted to marry into one another. Now, why were the Shvatim precluded from marrying one another? I will say, take a look at the Rashbam. Lavo Zebaze, Shehut, it's in the wide lines, like pretty much like in the middle of the wide lines. Lavo Zebaze, Shehut Shu Hasabas Nachala, Shepasak Oso Dor Shabaya Aretz, Shinasar Lahem Hasabas Nachala, Vahash Tamirum Nishtairad. So we'll listen to this. The Rashbam says something amazing. This is the tie in. What did we establish in our last Sugir Avosai? What we established was that for the generation of the desert, there was a unique obligation, a unique halacha. It was unique halacha that if you had a woman who inherited property from her father's tribe, then what was the halacha? She was not permitted to marry into another tribe. But remember, again, that was a generational halacha. That was that for that, just for that generation. Therefore, you had circumstances where there was a certain limitation on the tribes marrying into another. And again, remember, we said, why was that particular restriction on that particular tribe? In order that the tribal portions of Eretz Yisrael not get mixed up. So what happened? On the 15th of Av, again, in some subsequent year, that at some point, essentially when everyone in the desert had essentially died out, so that was the end of that particular gzera, and the Shvatim were permitted to go ahead and marry into one another. Incredible. So the Gemara says, how did they know that this restriction on the Shvatim marrying into one another was only generational and was not to be extended going forward? Because they said, the Pasuk said, Zahadavar. This is the time to argue about it. Because the Pasuk says, Zahadavar. This is the matter. Remember again, it's Zahadavar Sharziv Hashem Lanot Slavcha Leymar Latov Beineim Tiran Lanashim Achle Mishpachas Matem Tiran Hashem. So they understood, Zahadavar means what? Davar Zeh Lo Yehinoek Ela Bedor Zeh. Also, they understood that Moshe Rabbeinu's the choice of words of Davar Zeh meant that this was an obligation upon the generation of the desert, not future generations. 15th of Av becomes the day when the Shvatim are once again permitted to marry into one another. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Rachana Amar, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Yom Shehuter Shevet Binyamin, Lavo Bekal. So I'll say, so amazing, Rabbi Rachana says that 15th of Av was the day that Shevet Binyamin was permitted to once again marry into Klal Yisrael. I will say, remember again, what happened with the Shevet Binyamin? So this is the episode of Pilagesh Begiva. We spoke about this idea just a few days ago. So the episode of Pilagesh Begiva, where a woman was terribly abused by the men of Shevet Binyamin. As a result, the other tribes go to war with Shevet Binyamin, virtually wipe out Shevet Binyamin. Right, the tribe Binyamin is only left with 600 men, virtually wiped out. Furthermore, again, as almost like a chayrim, the other tribes prohibited their daughters from marrying into Shevet Binyamin. It was on the 15th of Av that this ban was relaxed, and the other Shvatim were permitted to go ahead and, or they allowed Shevet Binyamin back into the collective. Dechsev, the Ish Yisrael Nishba B'mitzpah Leymar, Ish Mimenu Lo Yitin Bito LeBinyamin LeYisha. It was said because, again, the men of Klal Yisrael, they swore in the mitzvah, and they said, none of us will give our daughters to Binyamin. My darish, was say, how do they know that they had the right to revoke this ban? Because the Pasuk said, Mimenu V'lo Mibanenu. Because they understood that when their fathers had made this ban, ultimately, again, they used Lashon HaMimenu, we, but they did not mean to make this binding upon their sons. Plus, I just say something quite beautiful on this. I saw the Sif Seit Tzadik comments on this, and he says something so beautiful. He says, why did it change? Meaning, why did they decide to reverse this particular position? So he says, Mashma, Sheigiyu Ba'osiyom Das Gidol Yoser Mikodem. V'ro, Sheyoser Tov Lekariv Osam, So they had an amazing, amazing, like, enlightened idea. The reason they put the ban on Shevet Binyamin is because obviously Shevet Binyamin was in a state of moral bankruptcy. So their assumption was, it is better to push Shevet Binyamin away. After a little bit of time of reflecting, they realized that if they want to help Shevet Binyamin change, the best thing to do is not to push them away. But the best thing to do is what? Is to bring them closer. And that mindset, that shift in mindset, says the Sif Seit Tzadik, ultimately, again, occurred on the 15th of Av. That if you really want to help the other affect change, the best thing to do is not push them away. The best thing to do is bring them closer. Incredible yisod. So the Gemara goes right there. Rav Din, Rav Yosef, Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Bose, I just want to point out, these are all different opinions as to what is happening on the 15th of Av. Now, I'm just pointing out over here, the Rashbam points out that Lemaisa, these are not mutually exclusive. In other words, we'll say all of these opinions could be correct, and these were all events that occurred on the 15th of Av. So Rav Din Bar Yosef Aram Nachman, Yom Shekalu Bo Meise Midbar. We'll say this is amazing, that the 15th of Av was the day in which the generation of the desert stopped dying. I will say, now what does this mean? Take a look. This is amazing. Take a look. It's the last Rashbam, second to last Rashbam on the page. Shekalu bo meisei midbar, writes Rashbam, b'medrash eicher abos. He quotes here for the medrash. And the medrash says, yom shebitl bo hachofer. What does that mean? Dam Rabbi Levi, this is amazing. Kol erev Tisha B'Av, hayukruz yotze. We'll say every Erev Tisha B'Av, meaning only every Erev Tisha B'Av. For the 39 years in the desert, right, every Erev Tisha B'Av, the announcement would go out. They'd make an announcement. What was the announcement? Hakol Yetzu Lachpor Chafarin, V'yeshenin Bahen. Lachpor Chafarin, V'yeshenin Bahen, U'bishachris Hakruz Yotzei, Yibadlu Hachayim Min Hamesim. We'll say, if you can imagine this dramatic episode, every Erev Tisha B'Av, they would make the announcement in the camp. Everyone dig a grave. Everyone did great. Now, this was obviously not everyone. This was adults above the age, we'll see, between the ages of 20 and 60. So everyone go out and dig a grave. And what would happen? They would lie down in the grave. They would sleep in the grave that night of Tisha B'Av. And the next morning, again, the call would go out. He badla chayim min hamesim. Let the living separate from the dead. Vayuboltkin osa v'nimtza tes vav elef uprut rut chaserin b'chol shana. Both said it was 15,000 and some who died each and every year. V'kach asu mem shana yom l'shana yom l'shana hari mem shana achrona asu. Hari mem shana. B'shana achrona asu came badku atzman v'nimtzu shlemim. Amru shema te'inu b'cheshbon. V'chein biyud, v'chein biyud aleph, v'chein biyud beis, v'chein biyud gimel, v'chein biyud dalit. Ad the ismali sihira, kevan the ismali sihira, amru bita kadosh baruch hu osig zera kashem alin va'asa mishta v'simcha v'yomtov. So we'll say, what happened? So they said, do this every erev Tisha B'Av. So what happens? In the final year in the desert, meaning when the 40 years had come to an end. So what happens? Erev Tisha B'Av, they dig the grave. They then go ahead and lie down in the graves. Good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld. They go ahead. He tried to hide behind Uncle Mike. I got it. Hey, they go ahead and they lie down in the graves. So what happens? The next morning they get up. Everyone gets up. So they thought, oh, we must have made a mistake with the calculation of the month. So they do it again the night of the 10th, the night of the 11th, the night of the 12th, the night of the 13th, the night of the 14th. They both said, by the time they get to the 15th of the month, there's no mistaking it. Why? Because the moon is full. Once the moon is full, you know for a fact that it's the middle of the month. They realize that year that what? So when's the moon full? The moon's full on the middle of the 15th of the month. That day when they realized that the Gzira had come to an end, they made into a day of Mishta v'Simcha. An incredible, incredible yisod. So the Gemara says, Damar mar, at shelo kalu meisei midbar amud beis. Because again, now we'll say, now we understand that the celebratory nature of that day is just housed in the fact that the Gzira was finished. The Gzira was complete. The Gemara just points out there's another element of Simcha, because all of those years, Rabbi say, where the Gzira was upon Klal Yisrael, lo haya dibor im Moshe. The Ribbono Shel Olam did not communicate with Moshe Benu Shenemar, v'hi kasher tamo kol anshen l'cham alavos, mikerav ha'am, because Rabbi say, the Pasuk said that it was only once all of the men who went to war died from a mitzvah. Rabbi say, the men of war in this particular situation refers to those who battled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in what? In the Meraglim. So the Gemara says, "V'samech lei, v'aydaber Hashem leimor elai." Excuse me, "V'aydaber Hashem elai leimor." And right after that pasuk, the pasuk says, "And HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to me, saying the following: Elai hayahadibor." That it was only after the generation of Rabosei who had rebelled against HaKadosh Baruch Hu so badly passed away, it was only then that the Ribbono Shel Olam began to communicate with Moshe Rabbeinu directly. Rabosei, now the Rashbam points out over here, what does that mean? For 38 years, HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not communicate with Moshe Rabbeinu. No, what it means is the following. Take a look at the Rashbam. Lo haya tap Rashbam. Lo haya dibor in Moshe. Peh el peh ke betchila. Avalim hutzuchu le dibor ki gon ben maaseh de korach. She'achar maaseh meraglim. Hayu medarba ayidei malach. O biurim betumim. Inami lo hayu medarba imo ela ayidei tzorech maiseh tzorechlim. So both say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu communicated with Moshe, but either he only communicated on an as-needed basis, or through a malach, or through Urim v'Tumim. It was only once the generation of the desert died out that HaKadosh Baruch Hu went ahead and began to communicate with Moshe Rabbeinu again. Which, of course, it tells you an incredible use. So you'll ask yourself, but I don't understand, why is Moshe Rabbeinu penalized for the behavior of the generation? In other words, he didn't do anything. This was the Meraglim. Elamai, you see, it's a din in leadership. Let's say the leader is responsible for everything that goes wrong, even if it's not his fault. Meaning, at the end of the day, if it happens under his watch, there's responsibility and there's culpability for the events that unfold around him. So the Gemara goes, Vayter Ula Amar. We'll say, these are all different insights into why Tu Ba'av, the 15th of Av, is a significant day. Ula Amar, Yom Shebitel Bahoshea Ben Ela, Pardiso Shehoshev Yeravim Al Hadrachim, Shelo La Ya'alu Yisrael Regas. We'll say, Ula says, that on the 15th of Av is an Hoshev Ben Ela. We'll say, Hoshev Ben Ela was one of the Malchi Yisrael. He went ahead and he took away the centuries that Yeravam ben Nevat. Remember, Yeravam ben Nevat is the first king of the breakaway kingdom of Malchus Yisrael. Remember again, Yeravam ben Nevat was a breakaway kingdom under the reign of Shlomo HaMelech. or under the reign of Rechavam, right? And what happens? And what happens? Yeravam ben Nevat becomes the first king of Malchus Yisrael. Yeravam ben Nevat realizes that if he wants to consolidate his kingdom, he has to prevent the Jews from being Ola Regal. Because if they go to Yerushalayim, it's only a matter of time until they reunite with the Davidic kingdom. So what did he do? He went ahead and he set up golden calves in a couple of different locations, telling the people of his kingdom, there is no need for you to travel to Yerushalayim to serve God. You could serve God right here. Bosa, you have to understand, Yeravam ben Nevat was not a real Ovid Avodah Zarah. Meaning, he wasn't the shtark Ovid Avodah Zarah. What do I mean by that? He was a utilitarian Ovid Avodah Zarah. In other words, he believed in he instituted Avodah Zarah because it served to consolidate his monarchy, not because he actually believed in it. So we'll say, so what happens? He also posted sentries on the road to turn people back so that they couldn't go to Yerushalayim. So Hoshea ben Elah, subsequent melech, takes away the sentries and allows the Jews of Malchus Yisrael to be Ola Regel should they choose. When did that happen, says the Gemara? That happened on the 15th of Av. Rav Masna Amar Yom Sheh Nitnu Haruge Beitar Likvura. Both said, this is amazing. The 15th of Av is when the people of Beitar were finally able to bury their dead. Dam Rav Masna, so both remember again, what happens in Beitar? Beitar was the scene of a terrible massacre in the aftermath of the Bar Kokhba rebellion. So the Romans go ahead and put down the Bar Kokhba rebellion, and again, that's when they begin to wreak havoc upon the Jewish people. That's Asari Haruge Malchus, the 10 martyrs, Hadrianic persecution, everything begins in the aftermath of Bar Kokhba. One of the things they did is they wiped out the city of Beitar and told the Jews of Beitar that they were not permitted to bury their dead. And Abu said, ultimately, again, an incredible miracle occurred, which is what? The bodies did not decompose. Incredible miracle. The bodies did not decompose. So the Gemara says, "Amrav Masna Osayom Shenitnu Haruge Beit Alekvura." The Bosek, because the Gemara says that day when the Jews were given permission to bury their dead in Beitar, Tiknu Biyavna Hatov Hametiv. They instituted the bracha in Birkas Hamazon and benching of Hatov Vahametiv. Bosek Hatov Shlo Esrichu. God is good in that He did not allow the bodies to go out and decompose. Vahametiv Shenitnu Lekvura. And Moshe does good for us in that He allowed the bodies to be buried. Now we'll say, this is so dramatically amazing. If you look at the Rashbam says, it's right across in the Rashbam, Birkas HaTov V'Ametiv, Shebebirkas HaMazon, Tiknu Ba'osayom, Dimina Torah, Ina Ela Sholosh Rishonos. Also remember, again, Midaraisa, there are only three brachos for benching, but again, that HaTov V'Ametiv is the fourth bracha, is the Rabbanon, based on what occurred in Beder. Now we'll say, what's so dramatic about this? We'll say, this is a din in Hakaras HaTov. Think about this in just a moment. We're going to institute a whole bracha of hoda'o on why, on what? That the bodies didn't decompose, and they were finally given to us for burial. Isn't that such a dramatic, meaning, when you think about like what to give hoda'o for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so if I go to work today, and I land a big deal, I'm going to give hoda'o for that. Right? I go ahead and, you know, I get nachas for my children, I'm going to give hoda'o for that. But hoda'o that the bodies didn't decompose, and hoda'o that they're finally given for us, also you see, Elamah, yes, that this is the nature of the Hakaras HaTov of the Jew. The Jew has perfected the science of finding gratitude even in the most difficult and dire of circumstances. So at the end of the day, this is a tragic circumstance. But even in tragic circumstances, I have to seek out and find the good. I have to seek out and find the Tov. So the city of Beitar was massacred, it's true. But thank you, Ribono Shel Olam, for not allowing the bodies to decompose. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, for allowing us to bring these precious neshamas to Kvuras Yisrael. We'll say, such an incredible yisod. You don't just give thanks to God for the things that go well. Even in the things that are difficult, tragic, and exceptionally hurtful, you have to find the tov in those things as well, and give gratitude for that. Rabbi of Rabbi Yossi Yomar Tarabayu. We'll say, we're not finished yet. So this is, by the way, this is amazing, because like Tu B'Av, we'll say, usually for us, you know, the greatest simcha in Tu B'Av is no tachanun, right? Everything goes back to no tachanun. If it's a Monday or a Thursday, mamish, like, then it feels like, then it feels as happy as Yom Kippur, as happy as Midrash Torah. Yeah, right. So I'll say, so, but you see over here an exceptionally powerful day, meaning all of these, again, I want to point out, this is not a machlokas. These opinions are not arguing. They're all agreeing. They're just simply building on one another. Event after event after event after event that all occurred on this day. Incredible. Rabbi Rayosi Derin Tarvayu, Yom Sheposkin Bo, Melichros Eitzin L'Marach. This is exceptionally interesting. So, Rabbi Rav Yosef say, what's the Simcha of Tu B'Av? It was the day that they stopped chopping wood for the Mizbeach. They stopped chopping wood. The blessing is amazing. Tanya. So, we'll see what's the great Simcha in this. Satanya Rabbi Eliezer Agadol Omer, Kevan Sheki Echanisha Sarbav, once the 15th of Av comes, Tashash Kocha Shalchama. Once the 15th of Av comes, the sun is no longer as strong. In other words, we'll say the 15th of Av represents the kind of end of summer and beginning to transition to fall. Even though you don't necessarily feel it temperature-wise, especially in Eretz Yisrael, but lemaisa, again, the intensity of the sun is less. Tashash kochah shalchama, v'lo hayu karsin eitzin lema'aracha. Now we'll say, now that because the sun's intensity begins to diminish, they were no longer cut wood. Now we'll say, now why is that? In order to use wood on the mizbeach, you have to make sure the wood was dry. Because if it's not dry, so the wood rots and the wood becomes wormy. So both say they would only go ahead and cut wood between Nisan and Tu B'Av. But once Tu B'Av came, whatever they had, and they were not cut anymore. So the Gemara says the Karilei, they used to call Tu B'Av, the 15th of Av, Yom Tavar Magol, the day of the broken axe. That was named for Tu B'Av. And I will say, because it was the day that they stopped chopping wood. So the Gemara says, Mikan Ve'ilach, from Tu B'Av and on, Demosif Yosef. We'll say whoever adds on to his learning will have years added onto his life. Now, what does this mean? Take a look at the Rashbam. Mites ba'av va'olich demosif min ha'layla ala yom lishnos Yosef yom kidersiv ki hu chayechu ksiv ki orech yom mishnos chayim. So we'll listen to this. From Tu Ba'av also is when the days begin to become shorter and the nights become longer. So we'll say when the nights become longer, a person has to add on additional learning time in their evenings in order to make sure that they have appropriate amount of learning both by day and by night. So the Gemara says, from Tu Ba'av and on, Mikan Ve'elech Demosif, whoever adds on to his nighttime learning, Yosef, will have years added on to his life. Shein Demosif, whoever does not add learning, Yosef. So the Gemara says, my Yosef, what does that mean? Tani Rav Yosef, Tik Berei Ime. Yosef says it means that his mother will bury him. Rav says, what does that mean, his mother will bury him? It means that a person will not be blessed with longevity. As Rav says, the secret to longevity, says the Gemara, is someone who maximizes their days and nights. If I'm not maximizing my days and nights with some type of spiritual pursuits, then Lemaisa, again, I'm not blessed with longevity. Therefore, again, I have to be conscious as to when the shift between day and night occurs. So on Tu B'Av, when the days become longer, the days become shorter, I have to make sure to readjust my spiritual schedule as well, to make sure there's the necessary amount of ruchnius in my evenings as well. So Gemara says, Tanrabanan. It was a separate discussion now. Finish the Tu B'Av. Shiva Kipulas Kala Olam Kulo. We'll say literally what this means over here is there are seven people who spanned the entire time continuum of the world. And as well say, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is you could count seven people and make it all the way back to the beginning of time. What does this mean? So the Gemara says, so Misushalach Ra'as Adam. So we'll say, remember again, so you start with Adam Arisham. Misushalach saw Adam. Shem Ra'a Misushalach. So Shem saw Misushalach. Yaakov Ra'a es Shem. Yaakov Avinu saw Shem. Amram Ra'a es Yaakov. So we'll say, interesting enough, Amram had contact with Yaakov Avinu. Achya Shiloni Ra'a es Amram. Sa'achya the Shiloni saw Amram. Elio Ra'a es Achya Shiloni. So Elio saw Achya Shiloni. Va'adayin Kayim. And we'll say, ultimately, again, Elio Anavi is still alive. So I'll say, so essentially what you could do is you could count seven generations or seven individuals who will span the entirety of time and go back ultimately again to Adam HaRishon. Fine. So I'll say, alright, if we have time, which we won't, but just I want to point out, I'll just plant the seed, we'll say, you'll put this on the list of things we're coming back to. There's, interesting enough, I'll say, in all the Tu B'Av discussions, the one thing that doesn't seem to fit is the last approach, which is the cutting down of the wood for the Mizbeach. You know, everything else, thank you. Everything else is a Simcha Dik event. Yet the cutting down of the wood doesn't really seem to be such a Simcha Dik Yisod. All right, so in Emir Sashem, we'll come back, and there's a lot of interesting to talk about that. So you'll remind me at some future time. So the Gemara goes on. So therefore, again, these seven individuals ultimately spanned the entirety of man's existence. So Gemara says, one second. The Achya Shiloni Ra'as Amram. So we'll say, is that possible that Achya Shiloni Sa'am? So we'll say, Achya Shiloni, we know about him in Eretz Yisrael. right after Klal Yisrael's entry into Eretz Yisrael. So how could it be that Achi Ashiloni, who was living in Eretz Yisrael, saw Amram? So the Gemara says, "V'haksiv v'lo nosar mehem ish kiem kalei ben Yefuna v'Yoshua ben Nun." And we'll see, after all, the Pasuk tells us that no adults who left Egypt came into Eretz Yisrael except for who? Kalev and Yoshua. So how could Achi Ashiloni actually be alive? This is very interesting. So Rav Hamnuna suggests that the gzera of the generation dying in the desert did not devolve upon Shevet Levi. Shevet Levi was exempted from that gzera. The Pasuk says about the punishment of the Dor HaMidbar that in this desert shall your corpses fall. Everyone between the ages of 20, everyone above the age of 20. So the Gemara says, Misha pikudav mi ben esrim. Who died in the desert? They both say, only those who were counted from age 20. Yatsu shvato shalevi shepikudav mi ben shloshim. Levi was different. Why? Because both say Levi was not counted from the age of 20. Levi was counted from the age of 30. Now, is that true that no one else survived from any of the other Shvatim? In other words, there was no one else who left Eretz Yisrael, who left Mitzrayim, who came into Eretz Yisrael. But we learned Yoir ben Menashe, Umachir ben Menashe, Noldu b'mei Yaakov, v'lo meisu ad shenichnasu Yisrael la'aretz. I will say this is dramatically amazing. The Brisa says that Yoir, the son of Menashe, and Machir ben Menashe were born during the days of Yaakov Avinu, and yet what? They did not die until Klal Yisrael entered into Eretz Yisrael. Shenemar, v'yaku mehem an she'ai kishloshim v'shisha. And also when Klal Yisrael enters in, tells under Yoshua, so they do battle in Ai, in the city of Ai, and there were 36 men who were killed, 36 members of the Jewish army who were killed. So the Gemara says, "V'tanya shloshim v'shisha mam shir b'Yehuda." B'Yehuda says, "Okay, what does 36 mean?" I will say, 36 means literally 36 men. Amar Rav Nechemya, "V'chi ne'amar shloshim v'shisha." Does it say 36 men died? V'halo lo ne'amar ela kishloshim v'shisha. It doesn't say 36 men died. Both say, what does it say? Like 36 men died. So what does this mean? Ela Zeyoir ben Menashe Sheshakul Kiruba Shal Sanhedrin. And the Rabbah say, what does it mean? It means that who died? It was Yoir ben Menashe. Yoir ben Menashe dies in the Battle of Ai. Why does it call Yoir? So why does it say that Yoir ben Menashe was like 36 men? Because we'll say, what's significant about the number of 36? It's the majority of a Sanhedrin. So therefore, again, Yoir ben Menashe was as holy and as special and as important as the majority of the Sanhedrin. And we'll say, now why is this important for us? Because what it tells us is that other people survived and entered into Eretz Yisrael. In other words, other people, other than Shevet Levi, and other than Kalev and Yoshua, entered into Eretz Yisrael. We'll say, rather here, and this is exceptionally important. Elo Amar of Acha Bar Yaakov, lo nigzra gzera, lo apachos mi mei esrim, this is amazing. And this, by the way, sheds a whole light, even though we referenced this in yesterday's daf already, which is that apparently the gzera of the Midbar, of those who were the generation of the desert, dying in the desert, was only upon men the ages between 20 and 60. But if you are below 20 or above 60, the gzera did not apply. So the Gemara says, where do we know this from? So that it didn't apply to people less than the age of 20, because the Pasuk says, again, that it only applied to those who were less than 20 years in age. And I will say it didn't apply to those who were older than 60. How do we know that? Gamar Umala Ma'ala Mi'erchin. The Bible says, ultimately, again, we learned it from a Gzir Shava of Ma'ala Ma'ala from Erchin. The Bible says, it's amazing. It's just last week's parasha. Right? Remember again, what's the din of Erchin? The din of Erchin ultimately is that people have a value. Person makes a neder, Erki Alai, I hereby pledge my value to the base. Just remember again, the Torah at the end of the parasha is Bichol Kosai. goes ahead and tells me the different values for different people. A men between the ages of so-and-so and so-and-so are worth X, women Y, and so on and so forth. So Bosei, when it comes to Erchin, the halacha is, if I'm a man and I say, Erki Alai, if I am between the ages of 20 and 60, my value is X. So Bosei, so the Gemara says, Ma lahalon, yesher mi ben shishim kepachos mi ben chav. Rabbi said, just like by Erchin, a man above the age of 60 has the same value as a man below the age of 20. Afkan. So to Rabbi said, by the generation of the desert, yesher mi ben shishim kepachos mi ben esrim. Ultimately, again, someone above the age of 60 is the equivalent, ultimately, again, of someone below the age of 20. And therefore, I will say, again, ultimately, these two groups, so this is amazing, by the way, because that is Gemara, meaning if you were just reading Pshuto Shamikra, the simple straightforward Pesukim, a person would automatically assume that the Gzera of the Midbar, of dying in the Midbar, was upon who? Upon who? Everyone upon above the age of 60. We assume that it was everyone. And Mamish, essentially no one came in except the younger generation, those under 20 years old, and the only older people ultimately were Yoshua and Kalev. We'll say this Gemara is dramatic because that's a dramatic reversal of that mindset. What the Gemara is saying is it's quite possible that there were many people, I don't know many, because remember at the end of the day, that would mean when you entered into Eretz Yisrael, you were how old? Right? A minimum of going on 100 years old, right? Because the Maaseh, that means you had to have been above the age of 60 at the time of the Gzeira of the Meraglim. So if you're above the age of 60 or below the age of 20 at the time of the Meraglim, then you were able to enter into Eretz Yisrael. But Lamaisa, again, between the ages of 20 and 60, you did not enter. So it turns out that according to the Gemara, it wasn't just those below the age of 20 and Kalev Yoshua entered in. Rather, again, it was those above the age of 60 as well, who were still alive at the time of entry of Eretz Yisrael, who were able to enter in as well. This, just bringing this all the way back, that's how, again, you could have a situation of Achia HaShiloni, who knew Amram, but yet was still ultimately again with the group that ultimately came into Eretz Yisrael. All right, Tabosai, we'll stop over here for today. Again, there is still more beautiful Agarata ahead of us tomorrow. Really beautiful daf tomorrow, Mir Tashem. We'll continue tomorrow. I'm going to give people a chance to once be on time for davening. So, Mir Tashem will. Tomorrow's short daf. I'm going to start off tomorrow with the chopping wood, Mir Tashem.